We are very privileged to be joined in the studio today, right now, by Susan Stein, a playwright and performer who is bringing her one-woman show, Eddie, to Deep Dish Theater this weekend, beginning on Thursday. It is not to be missed. It's a one-woman play based on the diaries and letters of Eddie Hillesum, a Dutch-Jewish student living in Amsterdam during the 1940s, during World War II. She started a diary to help her deal with depression, and it became an incredible piece of literature, which Susan Stein is bringing now to the stage. Susan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about Eddie Hillesum. I can go into detail, but it's better if it comes from you. You've worked with this for 7-8 years now, right?
Almost 7 years.
Wow.
Pretty much full time,
wow.
Yeah. Eddie was 27 years old when she started the diary. She started it as part of her therapy with Julius Speer, mm-hmm. who was a Jungian analyst. He was actually a student of Jung's. And she didn't realize the diary would take off the way it was. She had mm-hmm. problems actually starting it. She, you know, at one point said, "A diary is an art I do not understand." And she said repeatedly, "I can't just write this happened and then this happened. That won't do."
Mm-hmm.
And then the diary does take off because she has aspirations to be a writer, and mm-hmm. it takes on a life of its own. She had a remarkable sensibility. The diary has been published into, I think, 17 or 18 languages.
Wow.
It's great that we're here today. I'm grateful for that because this January was the centennial of her birth.
Mm.
And there was a congress in Belgium. There is a research center for her now mm. at the University of Ghent. And people from all over the world were there, academics and artists, and sharing, you know, Eddie's thinking. It's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
She did not see herself as a victim, although she was a victim of the Holocaust, mm-hmm. but she did not see herself that way. She commits herself to living her life fully until her last breath.
Mm.
And it's unusual and inspiring. And
yeah.
it's been particularly inspiring to bring the play to prisons, mm-hmm. which I started.
I was going to mention that you've actually performed this in prisons, which is at the one hand it's counterintuitive. On the other hand, it's completely intuitive that this would be a place to perform this play and to get a very strong reaction.
It wasn't my idea.
Yeah,
it came from Heather Boyce, who runs the Anne Frank Center in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and she had seen the play when I was at the Edinburgh Fringe. And we went out for coffee afterwards, and she asked me if I had thought of bringing it to prisons. And as soon as she asked me, I thought,
of course. Yep.
And no, I hadn't thought of that. And it took 2 years to get it into its first prison.
Mm-hmm.
I have performed it in prisons throughout the United States, but also in England, Scotland, Ireland, and this October I'll be bringing it to my first prison in Wales.
Wow.
And the mostly male prisons.
Mm-hmm.
There is a donor in North Carolina who began donating. She's actually in this area in Durham, who began donating a copy of Eddie's diaries, this copy,
mm-hmm.
to each prison that I brought the play to. And I started getting letters from inmates.
Mm.
And that became such a powerful experience that I thought maybe I could start a prison project. And if I could just be somewhere longer than a few days.
Yeah, yeah.
So this past November, December, I got a grant from an arts council in Minneapolis. I was an artist in residence for a month, and I got to work with two high security prisons, Stillwater and Shakopee.
Oh.
And they let me do a prison project with Eddie where inmates read the diaries, and I went in once a week, and we talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for a month, so I got to go in several times. We started with 15 inmates at each prison, and then more signed up, and we capped it at 25. And we found two donors who donated 25 copies to each prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a powerful experience, and the inmates taught me a lot
yeah.
about Eddie, about the diaries, and about understanding her diaries as a prison story. Mm-hmm. It is a prison story,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't know if I had understood that before. And she understands that. She says, the whole of Europe is gradually turning into one great prison camp. Soon there will be nobody left outside.
Mm. Mm. This is a powerful memoir, and it sort of fits in with the Anne Frank diary. We think of Elie Wiesel's Night and all the other really powerful memoirs of the Holocaust. This one, as you said, is maybe not quite as well known as those yet, but becoming more so. And you are a big part of this. What drew you to this story initially? What led you to this point?
To reading it?
Yeah. To reading it and then to saying, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to turn these words into a play.
My college roommate's mother had recommended the book to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an avid reader and did not recommend books lightly. So when I saw it at a yard sale in Maine for 50 cents on a blanket.
Yeah.
I picked it
after
up.
After having already had it recommended to you.
Yeah, I don't think I would have picked it up otherwise.
Okay, wow.
I picked it up, and I read it a couple of months later.
There's little moments of coincidence that just these huge turns, yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah.
And I had no idea that a book would change my life the way it has. I mean, I didn't even know something like that was possible, that you could read a book and it could really take over your life. So I read it and didn't like her. I thought she was really self-involved. She goes on and on. She has a pretty active sexual life.
Mm-hmm.
She's suffering with depression. She writes a lot about her body ailments. And I just thought, oh, my dear, why was this book recommended to me? And then before I knew it, and I don't know where it happens, it shifts. And she became an intimate friend of mine, more intimate than I've felt with a book before, uncomfortably so. At times, it feels like you're walking into a room and there's someone naked there, and you don't leave.
Yeah.
You stay. And other people might even come in this book, and they're also naked. So the situation is awfully intimate and vulnerable and remarkable and thinking changing. I mean, so when I was finishing the book, and I cheated because I cheat, I'm a slow reader, and I went to the end and in the book jacket and found out that she did not survive.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike Elie Wiesel or Primo Levi, she does not have the luxury of reflection.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're only reading it as it's happening.
Right.
I thought, why isn't she better known, like you said?
Yeah.
And I had a couple of ideas happen simultaneously. And one was, oh, I'll make a play. And then I'll get to bring her to people that might not read her, and they'll see the play, and then maybe they'll read her. And I can say that has been the case.
Yes.
I didn't realize it would be as hard. I had never really done anything like this before. I have to give credit to my director, who does not take credit for helping me adapt the script, but we have been working on this for over 6 years together, and that's Austin Pendleton, who, when I tell students when I go to schools that he's one of the fish in the fish tank in Finding Nemo, they get very excited.
Yes.
But he's also in My Cousin Vinny and many other things. But he has been a great gift to the project, and actually just a couple of weeks ago, we worked for 5.5 hours on this. I showed him the revisions that I have done and that I will be presenting for the first time this weekend at Deep Dish, because I have made these revisions.
Wow. So really, really exciting opportunity as well. We're speaking with Susan Stein, the author of Eddie, again, performing it at Deep Dish this weekend. It's a very intense play. It's you and a suitcase and a chair.
No
chair?
No, there used to be a chair.
There used to be a chair. So it's you and a suitcase and her words. And her words, and that's it. And it is literally her words. It's not your interpretation. It's her words straight at the audience.
It's only her words. The interpretation part is which ones I've chosen how I have put them together, because sometimes I am taking a word from 1 year and putting it with a phrase from another year and then a phrase from yet another year and creating a sentence. So they are her words, but they are collaged. And that has, that's what has taken the 6.5 years to do.
There's a photo of Eddie Hillesum on the website, which is eddieplay.org, which is just the very small picture, black background, just her face sort of to the side, and she's got her hand on her chin, and there's that picture on the cover of the book. There's a cigarette dangling from her hand, and I saw that picture, and the first thing I thought was Camus. It could be Albert Camus, and just sort of reflecting on it, it's both of them are speaking to sort of the similar reaction to similar circumstances, which is living in a world that is absurd or insane and not rejecting it, not reacting against it, not pushing it away, but figuring out a way to embrace it and to live in it and to draw it in and to find in that world what is beautiful. There's a line, I think, in the play, and it's Eddie, I believe, talking about one of the more powerful images in the play, which is the Nazi guard who's picking flowers along the barbed wire fence. And I think you say something almost lovely is the line, and that jumped out at me as being just sort of an overarching theme of the play, finding that thing which is almost lovely in this world.
I think that's really beautifully said, the way you said that. I spoke with Byron Woods the other day, and coincidentally, he wrote his undergraduate thesis on Eddie.
Byron Woods is the critic for the Independent Weekly, right?
And he said, in terms of his thesis, that he was looking at how humans respond creatively to events that are destructive. Mm-hmm. She is committed to seeing life as simultaneously beautiful and horrible, and believes that they do both exist. Mm-hmm. It is hard to wrap your head around that reading her letters when you see what she is in fact confronting, but she stays committed to that. And that line about the soldier, I probably get more response to that line than maybe any other in the play.
Yeah.
She said she did not want to be a chronicler of horrors, and she knew that people would chronicle that there would be survivors who would chronicle that. She seems committed to showing that there were other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And the line about the soldier shows more about her than it does about him, because she writes a bit about him. She kind of comes back to him in that letter a couple of times, and she turns him into a lover. She's a lover, and she humanizes him and turns him into that, and it says a lot about her.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Susan Stein. Eddie is the play. Eddieplay.org is the website. ETTYplay.org. So visit that and check out the play at Deep Dish this weekend. Before we let you go, Susan, I was wondering if you could do a short reading from the play.
Okay. The small bedroom holds a glimmer of light from Speer's study. When I walk in, I see that his bed has been turned down, and above it a heavily laden spray of orchids has been hung. On the little table beside his pillow stand daffodils, so yellow, so poignantly yellow and young. The turned-down bed, the orchids, the daffodils. There is no need to lie down in that bed. It's like a whole night of loving.
Susan Stein, Eddie, it is at Deep Dish Theater at University Mall this weekend. It starts on Thursday and runs through Sunday. You do not want to miss it. Eddieplay.org is the website.
And each performance will be followed by a post-performance discussion. We have panelists from Duke University. We have Holocaust survivors, and we have a real range of people.
DeepDishTheater.org is the website if you want to go get tickets. Not to be missed this weekend. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.